Colonel Thien, I am pleased to share the rostrum this morning with this august gathering of theologians. Each one has demonstrated through his ministry a loyalty to the systematic theology, the innovative system, and the orthodox message that has been so rigorously developed and continuously communicated from this pulpit for over 53 years. The impact the ministry of R.B. Thien Jr. has had on the lives of believers in this generation is immeasurable. The Colonel is a legend in his own time, and we gather here today for a change of command ceremony, which the mantle of authority over the church will be transferred from him over to his successor and his son, Robert B. Thien III. This date will go down as historic in the annals of Baraka Church, for today marks the end of a glorious era of biblical exposition that is unparalleled since the Reformation. And it also marks the beginning of a new era that holds great promise to not only continue the traditions of the old, but to advance upon it. Nevertheless, getting to this moment challenged the mettle, the integrity, and the staying power of all Barakans, from the pew to the board. One of the gentlemen on this dais and I are old friends from way back. Rick Hughes and I have known each other for over 30 years. He and I attended the University of Alabama during the days of another legend in his own time, Paul Bear Bryant. Rick played for Coach Bryant. I cheered them on. When Coach Bryant retired, he was replaced by a man who was an All-America end for two of Alabama's national championship teams. His name is Ray Perkins. He was an excellent coach, but his job demanded more than winning football games. It also included the task of replacing a legend. He succeeded at the former but failed at the latter, and resigned after 4 years for the more tranquil duties of coaching the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Right after the pulpit committee began its search, Rick asked me who I thought might succeed Colonel Thien as pastor of Baraka Church. Well, I didn't hesitate. I said the only man in America with any experience in this sort of thing is Ray Perkins. Rick later repeated this to someone who posed to him the very same question, and to which the inquisitor responded, "Who's Ray Perkins?" Well, Ray Perkins is the man who learned the principle that no matter how successful you are in your own right, you will often be measured by the success of your predecessor, especially when that person is a legend. But the thing people forget is that those who are legends were not legends when they began. Their reputation was built over time, and because of personal integrity, undivided loyalty, and an uncompromising devotion to the cause they engaged, they became a legend. The problem with replacing a legend is that those who were his followers often wish to maintain the status quo by demanding that the present glory be continued without pause. This is rarely possible, especially in those professions where public affinity is drawn to a dynamic leader. There are exceptions, and I contend that one of the most apparent is that of replacing the legendary pastor of a local church. Colonel Thien is a legend. Who could ever replace him is a question I'm sure many of you have asked. This is a question best answered not by men, but by the Holy Spirit. And the way for men to get out of the way and allow the Holy Spirit to do his job is to set up an objective system based on biblical principles and then execute it with strict adherence to the process and procedure. Such was the case with the efforts of this church's Board of Deacons as its pulpit committee began its search for a successor. The man God had chosen in eternity past was not aware that he would even become a candidate for Baraka's pulpit. He had prepared himself with seminary degrees with the intent of preserving his father's ministry in perpetuity through electronic and print media. He edited manuscripts which required intensive research into the colonel's class notes and writings. The end result are the popular publications that are distributed worldwide to those hungry for the teachings of the Word of God. Little did Bobby know that his intensive research was really preparing him to continue his father's ministry, not as his editor, but as his successor. When the colonel discontinued his regular teaching schedule, Bobby was asked by the Board of Deacons to become the interim pastor until a successor could be found. As the pulpit committee moved forward, Bobby began to teach. And as he taught, he slowly but surely discovered that the spiritual gift he intended to use in an academic environment was intended by God to be used in the office of pastor-teacher. Consequently, he became one of several candidates the pulpit committee began to vet for this storied pulpit. Three men were eventually identified as finalists in what might be called Operation Ray Perkins. Each was eminently qualified. All made effective presentations to this congregation. But in the final analysis, being qualified for the job is not the real issue. The ultimate question which had to be answered was which of them was the man God decreed to shepherd this flock. It became evident that although each was qualified, one possessed unique advantage. The one chosen is the one who can most effectively provide a seamless transition from one ministry to the next. His knowledge of the colonel's teachings is unsurpassed. He is able to take up the message that has attracted millions to this ministry and resume without pause. It is therefore apparent that the weighty task of replacing the colonel was not too great for the grace of God. For he knew in eternity past that when his servant, Robert B. Thiem, Jr., sheathed his sword and struck the colors, that his son, Robert B. Thiem III, would be ready and prepared to raise them again and continue the advance. The colonel once related how Dr. Lewis Sperry Chafer challenged him and his fellow classmates upon their being graduated from Dallas Theological Seminary. Dr. Chafer maintained that he had taught these men all that he had been privileged to learn from the Word of God during his days as a pastor and professor. He encouraged them to use what they had learned from him as a foundation upon which they would build upon his teachings. None came close to either matching or exceeding the efforts of the colonel. He was zealous in his study of the Word of God. His theological advances revolutionized the way two generations of pastors study and taught the Bible. People flocked to Houston to study before the colonel face to face. Many were amazed. Some stood aghast. But none could deny that he was the preeminent communicator par excellence of 20th century Protestant theology. Bobby, it is my solemn duty to confirm before God and those gathered here today that you are the one chosen to seize the colors and carry on. Consequently, I commit to your charge jurisdiction over the souls of those who worship in this place. I implore you not only to continue the ministry pioneered by your father, but through the mentorship and the enabling power of the Holy Spirit to pick up where your father left off and continue the advance. Now, it is customary for those who give the charge to the pastor to delve into passages of Scripture that define for you the authority and responsibilities which you are invested as pastor, but you are fully aware of them all, as well as the duties mandated by them. I will fulfill my duty by just briefly commenting upon one of them. 1 Peter 5, verses 2 and 3. Shepherd the flock of God assigned to you, performing due diligence, not from false motivation, but voluntarily according to the grace of God, and not for ulterior gain, but with eagerness, neither as a despot over the allotted congregation, but rather become a pattern for the flock. Now, these verses make clear that those chosen by divine allotment are the ones who make up the flock assigned to you. All Baraka is not Baraka. Those who respond to your message and as a result grow in grace will exhibit a loyalty to the doctrine communicated here. These are the ones toward whom you owe due diligence. To properly shepherd them means they will need to be led to spiritual nourishment found in the Word of God, which you will consistently provide through the rigors of studying and teaching. This is to be voluntary service performed with an eagerness through the grace of God, not from any false motivation or a desire to gain temporary advantage by appeasement. Neither are you to misuse your authority by becoming a despot, either administratively or by the communication of legalism. Instead, you are to execute the sophisticated spiritual life you are commissioned to teach, and in doing so, become an example to the flock. Encouragement for compliance with these duties is found in the promise of a special escrow blessing for pastors in 1 Peter 5, verse 4. And when the shepherd in chief shall appear at the rapture of the church, you shall receive at the evaluation tribunal of Christ the crown of unfading glory. And so I implore you this morning to pursue this reward by fulfilling the command of 2 Peter 5:2, shepherd the flock of God assigned to you. If you dedicate yourself to the fulfillment of this mandate, along with the principles of authority, responsibility, and accountability associated with it, then when you appear before the evaluation tribunal of Christ, you will be privileged to stand beside your Father, where the both of you will be honored to hear this acclamation from our Lord: "Well done, my good and faithful servants. I give unto you the crown of unfading glory." Bobby, you are about to take the reins of this pulpit, which I have often called Red Boy. The colonel has dismounted, and it was one heck of a ride. On Tuesday night, when you mount Red Boy for the first time as his successor, the phenomenal ministry that your father began will become your great honor and privilege to continue. And as you ride point, your congregation stands ready and willing to follow the colors. Congratulations and happy trails.